This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Jason Cutter with the Authentic Persuasion Show. This is season six. This is my third guest conversation of the new season. And I am excited. Again, I think I say that every single time. And I also say afterwards that I'm always excited for every guest, but this one is going to be radically different than any other guest I've had on the show, and you'll soon discover why. And I'm excited for so many different reasons to have the conversation I'm about to have with Craig Radford. And Craig works at the Communication Service for the Deaf, goes by CSD. And so Craig, as a speaker, author, coach, chairman, presenter, and executive, he has dedicated over 20 years to enhancing accessibility, effective communication, and job creation for the deaf community. He spent the first 12 years of his career playing a key role at the dawn of video relay services, VRS, and he's on the podcast to talk about sales, call centers, what it's like to run a company that is focused on serving the deaf community from a customer service and sales perspective. And it is going to be amazing. Craig, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm so excited to be here. I'm very excited to showcase what the deaf community's access needs are and how those have changed over time. I remember when we first started the video relay service back in 2001, 2002, that was huge because the deaf community prior to that utilized a TTY to communicate. After utilizing a TTY for so many years, the struggles became even more and realized that it's so much better with video relay because we can use our native language of American Sign Language instead of our second language of English. Imagine if you yourself were in the shoes of a deaf person and you had to type what you wanted in English. Somebody else would then read what you typed. They would then type back what they heard for you to read. So at the Communication Services for the Deaf, we work very hard to make sure that our community has equitable access and equal access to that of the hearing community. So we are building culture in a place where we can elevate the deaf community's life experiences of everything that they do. And I'd love to talk more about that today in our podcast.
And I think this is great. There's so many things. First off, for people listening into this, growing up when I was in middle school, my best friend, Jameson, his sister was deaf, and they moved to that city. I lived in Fremont, California, because it has one of the best schools for elementary through high school for the deaf. It was the California School for the Deaf, and just super popular. Families moved all over to come to that school, and that's why Jameson and his family had moved up the street, because the school was in the same neighborhood. And his sister is deaf, and I got to experience that and watch as she used kind of the things that Craig was talking about with the TTY machine and how excited she was to be able to type and chat with people. I mean, this is early internet, pre-internet kind of really exploding. So that was like the best option. She used to sit there in the kitchen all the time just typing away. And it was just like, what is she doing? And she was just happy and she was communicating. And it was really interesting to see that and think about that relative to what the rest of us take for granted. And here's the biggest thing, and I know this is something that you just said, Craig, kind of in passing, but I think most people don't realize this, is that English, American English, is the second language for people who are deaf, right? American Sign Language is the first language, which is something completely different. When you told me that about a month or so ago, that totally blew my mind to think of it in those terms.
Yes, absolutely. American Sign Language, ASL, is our first language, and many people don't realize that. So now in America, there are approximately 2 million deaf Americans that are deaf people that use American Sign Language. And often people ignore that population. And I remember TTYs were great when they came out. And I will tell you, though, my TTY, I haven't used it in over 20 years. It just kind of sits on the shelf collecting dust. Technology has improved so much in the last 20 years. Maybe I should give you an idea of other changes and where we are right now with some other changes. So the TTY, once that was being used, and then we came up with something called video relay service in the early 2000s, where you have an interpreter and a deaf person that can see one another on a screen. The interpreter will sign everything that is said by the hearing person to the deaf person, and then the deaf person will sign, the interpreter will receive that information and articulate and voice that information to the hearing person on the call. It's very similar to what you're seeing right now, but it's done through a phone for the hearing person. And that was wonderful because a deaf person could then express themselves in American Sign Language without having to think about communicating in their second language. The demand increased. It went through the roof for video relay services. People were shocked how many deaf people were truly wanting this service. The video relay service companies process approximately 15 million minutes a month all over
Wow.
the United States. And about 5 or 6 years ago, Communication Services for the Deaf thought, you know what? What if we connect, what if we create a direct service in a contact center, hiring deaf people, deaf staff in our contact center for big companies like Comcast, Google, Cox, the American Red Cross, and we became their ASL arm for their customer support line. The reason we created that is because the deaf community, 70% of that deaf community is underemployed or unemployed. So therefore, we are providing an equitable customer experience for our deaf customers as well as creating jobs. And this service now is going through the roof. We are so excited and about expanding these services.
Okay, so just to clarify, make sure I have it right, and for the people tuning into this, what was done was the old way was TTY, which was great at the time, is typing in, going to an interpreter, going to someone who's then reading it on the other side and either translating that into a phone conversation on their behalf, or it's being done via text, which it wasn't in the very beginning, and then it evolved. Then what you're saying is now instead with what you had at VDS and then now with the company you're at, where it's now somebody using video. So a deaf person using video to then chat with somebody at your company who's representing another company to service them via video. So no interpreter, no delay, no having to go through English, like you said, as a second language, but just focused on American Sign Language. And instead of that person getting into customer service at Comcast and then having to go through interpreter or relay, now they can just get help directly and easily and feel like they've got a company who's helping them and cares about their needs directly, right? Instead of treating it like a second language.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. The thing is, with an interpreter, you have a lot of good interpreters, but not all the interpreters are that good. And maybe you'll get two or three good interpreters out of 10 when using the video relay. And so it's hit or miss. And so that's a problem. Also, an interpreter doesn't have the full context when calling a certain company that a representative would have. For example, Disney uses their term of cast member. That's what Disney calls their brand, is everybody is a cast member. So, hey, talk with the cast. An interpreter is going to say, the cast? What are you talking about? Because they don't understand that brand. So that's something that's big. Also, maybe you call customer service calling for a bank and you say, hi, my name is Craig. But they're hearing a female voice just as you are now. And they're like, Craig is not a female name. This is spam. And they hang up. That is beyond frustrating for us because I just want to resolve my bank account issues. So I prefer to have a male voice represent me, and just so to alleviate some of those frustrations. You know, when you call customer service, you hear press 1 for English, push 2 for Spanish type thing. Mm-hmm. Why not press 3 for ASL? There you go. So that's what we have created. We have created that press 3 option for ASL. Why? It is the third most used language behind English in the United States.
Well, and I think what's fascinating, and there's a bunch of questions I have about your company and the sales and that processes and how you structure all that operationally. But I think one of the biggest things that you told me from a tech standpoint, which I think is fascinating, both for the companies who are listening to this and thinking, how can they put this into place, but also the potential, like, let's say, customers on your side and the brands that are watching or listening to this going, oh, this is how we can plug this in, is what you told me, and Ali, you explain it better because you're the expert, but the technology is there where when somebody who is looking for ASL-type help dials into a support number, it automatically knows because their device is registered, and it's going to send them to the right people in the right department, right? So it's not even having to go through the press 3 for this. It's saying, oh, if you're on this number or on this device, hold on, we got the team for you, right?
Yes, exactly. So the Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, they are the ones that fund the Video Relay Service, the VRS, and they have since the early 2000s. The Federal Communication Commission is encouraging direct video call programming. They're pushing for what we are already doing. For anyone to become a direct service provider, they have to have a license from the FCC that is certified and a license from the commission. And we have that certification. We were able to meet all of the requirements that they had from the Federal Communication Commission. And because of that, well, okay. So there are about 210,000 video phones installed in people's homes throughout America. And if you were to dial an 800 number for whatever company, it will then connect to an interpreter by default, so that you can then call that company. So now that is utilizing a neutral platform. And so you can go through that neutral platform. So by us registering a company's 800 number into that platform, and when a deaf person then calls that 800 number, because that number is registered in the platform, instead of automatically going to an interpreter, it will automatically be routed to deaf customer support. There will be a hold queue, that's done in American Sign Language, that says, hello, press 1 for customer support, press 2 for this, press 3 for that, all in American Sign Language. And you should see the faces of people when they connect for the first time. Maybe I remember there was a situation where someone had been using Video Relay Service all along to call this company. And then they had called in the morning. And then that afternoon, that number got registered in the database. So when they called that afternoon, they were like, wait, you're not an interpreter? You're deaf? Oh, my goodness, this is a dream come true.
And it truly amazing when you told me part of that when we spoke the first time is that, not using American Sign Language, not being hearing impaired, just taking for granted all of the stuff that you're describing are challenges, right? And this is why I have a friend, Jason McKee, who focuses on accessibility, especially on websites and helping people that might have challenges where they just can't navigate through a website normally because they're not built properly, right? Like under ADA. And it's just all these things that, you know, when you're not a part of that community or, you know, focused on that, you just take it for granted, like the press one or the saying your name and, you know, it not being a guy's voice and that kind of stuff and not getting directly to the person you want to and how much of a game changer that is. Now, question I have for you, which is a leading question because I already know the answer to this because we talked about it, is why don't companies just do this for themselves? Why doesn't a Comcast or a Disney just start up a ASL video team internally.
So the biggest reason is they think Video Relay Service works, and Video Relay Service is free in their mind. So why should I invest in something like this when I already have Video Relay Service and it's free and it works? But what they don't understand is that even though a deaf person is using the VRS, they're still having to pay for their English-speaking Q agents to receive this call. So the English-speaking agent gets a call through Video Relay Service. There's time, that's money, and it adds up. We have been doing this now for approximately 4 years, and we have collected a lot of data, and we have shown that call time is reduced by 33 to 42% by using a Direct Connect agent instead of going through VRS. And all of those costs can be rerouted. And so having to explain and educate them with that, because I will tell you, there is one company that we contract with that said, all right, we'll try this with a 6 months pilot. Within that 6 months pilot, the proof of concept was there. They signed a full deal with us. We then worked with them for an additional 1 year, and we pulled up all the financial data, compared that to what it was a year prior with VRS. They had a cost savings, even with paying us, of 35%. So I am always encouraging companies to look at this, because companies don't fully understand that there is a demand and that this is the right thing to do. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I could see that too, where companies, when they just look at the bottom line, aren't tying together the demand, ASL side, with maybe the Video Relay Service and then seeing how it's really impacting, because it's just mixed into the call times and the call handles and all of those numbers and those metrics, and that it's not standing out, right? It doesn't come through maybe a different queue, or if it does, it's not something that some companies might be looking at. Why don't companies just hire deaf people internally and then have them do what you're doing, right? And running that team, not the Video Relay Service, but just video chats and calls and providing service.
That's a very good question, Jason. To succeed as a direct service program, it requires lots of variables and lots of moving parts. It's not just about hiring a deaf person in some organization. They hire a deaf person, that's great. They're creating a job. But what they don't realize is they hire, you know, maybe three or four deaf people in a call center with hundreds of hearing people. That can become very isolating. We've already gathered the data that shows that one out of four people with disabilities tend to quit their jobs because of discrimination. They tend to have a higher turnover rate. The average turnover rate in America today is about 35 to 40%. For contact centers specifically, our turnover rate is 11 to 12%. And the reason that we have such a low turnover rate is that we are run by and for the deaf community. So all of the managers are deaf, our legal team is deaf, our HR team is deaf. We run an organization where everyone can communicate with one another. All of the training that we do is done in American Sign Language. Whereas if you hire a deaf person to work at your company, which is great, and I'm not saying don't, you have to get an interpreter for all of their training. So it's not always ideal. There's lots of training. You need to recruit the right talent. We have the ability to do that. It's a holistic approach to hiring. So sometimes it's better to outsource than to do it internally. If you did choose to do something internally, we're still here to support you, because it's all about two things. One, creating jobs for the deaf community, and two, having an equitable, accessible experience.
I love it. I think that's great. And let's shift, because this is the Authentic Persuasion Show. So let's talk about the sales ops, the leadership side, and whatnot, now that we've, you know, gone through and educated people, hopefully open their eyes to what they could be doing within their organization, who they might not be serving fully in this one capacity, and then opening that up for anybody who has a need that might not be getting service. So if we look at it as, you know, now look at your operation as like any other call center, any other sales operation, service operation, what is one of the biggest challenges that you guys have with scaling sales, service, and that side?
Jason, if I could get you to repeat the question one more time, just to make sure I know what you're asking.
Yeah, what's the biggest challenge that you have internally with scaling your operation with the teams that you have?
Okay. I would say the biggest challenge is trying to find qualified people, the right qualified people that have the ability to interact between a hearing corporation, because it is B2B, and working with the internal deaf employees. And the deaf community who utilize that service is going to them. So just being able to manage and work between both worlds requires a lot of savvy expertise. And also, we're still in the early stages. We get a lot of resistance and pushback, but then people start to pick up and gain on it. It's kind of that snowball effect. We're seeing more and more people adopting these services. We'll be able to hire more salespeople, and then we can scale more. But I do recognize that that's probably one of our bigger challenges, is that working in two worlds.
Yeah. And it makes sense too. I mean, I think most companies' challenge is getting the right people on board, getting them in the right seats on the bus, right? In a good to great way. And I think that's just a challenge in general. And I wonder for your operation, how much, especially with the pool of people, because you're looking for a specific person that is using ASL and they're good at that, like how much that limits. What did you see as maybe positives or challenges, let's say during the pandemic? I don't know if you guys went from a office to remote work from home, and where that fits into, you know, where there was challenges if you went remote, and then maybe where that helped with recruiting.
Yes, actually, it had, being remote definitely helps a lot, because the deaf community is spread out all over the United States. And we try to encourage deaf leaders and deaf talent to stay in their communities to keep their communities strong. If we centralize everything in one place, for example, Austin, Texas, if everyone were to move there, when you're now taking all of the best leaders from other communities and bringing them together in one place, which is something we wanted to avoid. So a virtual environment works really well for us. It allows us to keep our talent. You had mentioned before about the challenges with finding the right people. I know there are challenges everywhere, but one of the biggest challenges is somebody who is deaf from birth doesn't necessarily have the same opportunities. They might have been underserved and be considered underprivileged. They don't have the same opportunities that those of the hearing community do. So we try to pull them onto our team. We train them. We develop them. It's not like it happens overnight. You have to give them that experience. I've been running sales for over 20 years now. I've interviewed hundreds and thousands of people, and I'll tell you directly, it is tough to get the right people.
Yeah, and that is really eye-opening, because I think, and I have also interviewed a lot of people, and it's tough to find the right fit for a company in sales in general, right? And then we think about, like, one of the things you said as kind of a passing comment is that people are underserved or underprivileged and just don't have the same opportunities, right? Like, if I think about my path to get to where I have been in sales, I worked in a pet store, then I worked in a restaurant, then I worked at Microsoft doing tech support, and then I fell into sales when I was 27, right? But I had a lot of those customer-facing experiences that then got me prepared for a life in dealing with sales. But I can imagine if you're in the dev community, you don't have readily available opportunities like that to get the skills to then make you good at customer service and sales, which isn't easy. You don't just show up and be good at those things on day one.
Definitely. In general, deaf people do have a language delay due to language deprivation. Because when children are young, many children's families have been pressured to encourage their children to speak. And that's fine if it works. But because of that, they don't have a language foundation. You know, whether their language foundation is American Sign Language or English, it's irrelevant, but they have to have a language foundation. And so many children are deprived of that. When they grow up, they go into the workplace, they're often a little bit cognitively delayed. And that's not bad. It's just their ability to socialize and understand and communicate with their hearing coworkers and having to work with them. You know, sales is very intuitive. You really need to look at people to connect, understand their struggles, understand their needs. And that is emotional intelligence that really comes into play. I know you know what I'm talking about. And it just requires a lot of exposure, a lot of language. And it's a combination of many factors. And so we do try to change that, giving people those experiences and opportunities.
Yeah, and I could see where that really could cause a challenge, like you said, with the emotional intelligence, where it's just something it takes. I mean, I feel like I was a late bloomer. I mean, I didn't fall into sales till I was 27, and I still didn't think I was in sales. I still don't know if I was ready for any of it, if I was fully emotionally intelligent enough. And, you know, and then it was a process. So I can see that being a challenge in that community. One question, when we talk about the sales side, right, if you have pure sales campaigns that your teams are working on, or if there's upsell and cross-sell opportunities, how much with the service you provide directly, not through the video relay service, but directly through these video conversations via ASL, right, through somebody's language and speaking their language or communicating in their language, benefits and helps the sales process because of that, like, shared connection, that community, different level of understanding and trust that just kind of accelerates the sales conversations. Do you see that being true in the deaf community when you're having somebody on your side?
Yeah. I think the key is to make sure you're speaking with the right people, the right influencers, and getting them sold on the vision of how this works. Absolutely. And again, it takes time to develop and build relationships. That works over time. And I think that I missed some of your question because I was freezing a little bit. So if you can tell me where I missed off.
That's all right. So specifically what I was wondering, because I see this with other, like, ethnic communities, where when somebody who is Hispanic deals with a salesperson who's also Hispanic, they have a connection, and then usually there's more of a relationship in the sales side. So with your actual, like, agents in your center, if they're doing any sales cross-sells, how much do you see that actually help with ASL to ASL conversations where it's like, all right, you are communicating in my language. I trust you a little more than I would somebody else, and they buy more or they sell too easily or easier.
So our agents currently do not do any type of sales, but we do have virtual remote sales people outside of the contact centers. We do have some hearing people in our organizations who sign fluently, and so they work between ASL and English. We also have deaf people who sell specifically to deaf organizations, and we bring our best interpreters in to help build that trust between a hearing corporation who is considering having direct services to talk with our deaf salesperson, because there is a cultural difference for sure. I won't lie about that. But I notice that when we talk with a deaf-run, deaf-owned organization, of course it's much easier and everybody gets it. Like you had mentioned, deaf to deaf is always better.
Makes sense. And I can totally see that. And I think obviously there's just a shared understanding and some level of community / empathy / trust that just comes with any kind of connection with any relationship in a community, right? Whether it's business and industry or it's ethnic or it's, you know, anything like that. So, well, Craig, I appreciate you coming on here. This is going to conclude part one, and then we'll have our after show here in a few minutes. For people who are interested in following up with you, learning more about CSD and or the work that you're doing, the presentations that you do, I know that you had provided some info, and it'll be in the show notes, but people can email you at cradford, R-A-D-F-O-R-D, at csd.org. They can also go to getconnectdirect.com, and then you're on LinkedIn, which is how we connected, under Craig J. Radford, if people go on LinkedIn. And again, Craig, thank you for coming on and sharing this, and also for the work you're doing in the ASL community. And wanting to put this kind of content out there so that we can help raise awareness with everybody and just kind of, you know, build better operations and organizations. So thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Happy to have been here.
And that's it for everyone tuning in. I appreciate you being part of my journey and goal to shift sales from being a dirty word to something the world trusts and respects while helping you close more deals and make more money. Until next time, thanks for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders. We'll be right back.